There is trouble in paradise. The government parties have fallen out with each other.
Now, we're only a year and a half in government.
In
terms of this arrangement.
There's constant charging against me. It's been because he has no case against us when it comes to
substance.
My charge against him is he's obsessed with innuendo and conspiracy theories.
It's not good enough to just pass the buck. There is something rotten in the state of Denmark, and ultimately somebody has to bear responsibility.
Yeah, we're in the Houses of Parliament on national television.
Hello, and you're very welcome to this special edition of Your Politics podcast, where I'll be speaking to women in politics. Well, out of the 160 TDs in the Dáil, there are just 36 women compared to 124 men. So why are women so reluctant to enter into the profession? Well, joining me today on the podcast is the Minister of State for Disabilities in the Department of Children, Disability, Equality and Integration, Anne Rabbitt. And you're very welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
And can I just start by asking you, you were elected in the general election in 2016. Why did you decide to take the plunge into politics?
I only took the plunge into politics, would you believe it, 18 months before that in the local elections, 2014. And it all stemmed from going to a meeting on crime in Loughrea. And Niall Collins was actually invited down to speak about crime, and he was going around visiting a lot of other constituencies. And at that stage, I wasn't a Fianna Fáil member either or anything else like that. But it did annoy me because my own house had been broken into the previous Halloween. It's funny, we're heading into Halloween now as well, but the previous Halloween. And I was very annoyed. But when I sat in the room that night and I looked around and I saw the age profile of the people sitting in the room, my God, there's something really wrong about this. Really wrong, because it was a lot of the older generation. Everybody was north of 50. And I had just turned, well, maybe just about 40 at the time. And I decided.
Still young.
Absolutely. And I was sitting within the back row, because at that stage of my employment, you weren't allowed to attend particular political meetings or anything else like that. I genuinely went because there was a meeting about crime. The spokesperson for Justice, Maria Collins, was down. And I said to myself, going over the car, say nothing. And when you were listening to the conversations and the people that were raising them, and they were talking about firecrackers being put in old people's doors in Woodford, I was just so annoyed. So I spoke out, and I got a thrill out of speaking at a particular event and having aired my view. And I spoke. Niall came up to me afterwards and he said, "Are you a member? Are you interested?" or anything like that. I said, "No, but you might hear a little bit about me again." So I went home and I thought about it. And then there was another meeting taking place, maybe in Ballinasloe. And I was going to these meetings where nobody would know me, sort of effort. And I was hiring different babysitters so they would know I was going to political meetings.
Yes.
And I went to the one in Ballinasloe, and it had to do with the children's referendum at the time. And I'd have a fair input on that as well. So on that night, I spoke again and I go, yeah, I like this. I could make a difference. And that's where it started, 2014.
Now, Anne, you're a mother of three children. Being a politician and now a Minister of State, it's a very busy career. How do you find juggling everything?
You could say it was harder when they were younger. It was way harder. It is a juggle. There is no denying that whatsoever, because you have to make time every night when you're in Dublin. So I stay in Dublin two nights.
Yeah,
so,
because you travel up from Galway, don't you, every week?
So in order to actually not wreck myself out completely, I stay in Dublin on a Tuesday night and a Wednesday night, travel up early on a Tuesday morning and work till late on a Tuesday night and a Wednesday night, do the FaceTime with the kids at 9 o'clock, just as the news is finishing. Do the FaceTime with them and check in how they've done in school and everything else, see that they're sorted for the next day. Check in with them again at 8 o'clock the next morning to make sure they're up for school, like that. I have a childminder and everything else. They're not left alone. But it's trying to keep that balance of being. But then when I go home, I write the diary around my life and the kids, and I will do things at the weekends that you can bring your kids to. Now, in a COVID world, it's very different. But before this, I would take on functions at the weekends that were child friendly. And come on, no problem. Can I bring the kids? And the kids have always shown up with things. And if I was going out meeting a constituent, yeah, is it okay if I bring one or two of them? The kids will be in the backyard. Do you mind? No, they don't.
How do your children feel about you being, I suppose, a high profile politician? You're a minister of state. You know, how do they feel about their mum being vocal on certain issues?
as long as it has nothing to do with underage discos, as long as it's nothing to do with the phone in relation to social media, as long as you don't post photos now because they're all teenagers on Instagram, it's fine. Absolutely, grandmom, crack yourself up there. But this time last year, there might have been an issue around underage discos, and I was a little bit vocal on it. And at that night, my youngest was at that disco. It was her second night ever to go to disco. And I probably posted something on Facebook, ask your kids. And the next day it was, I don't believe you did that. And then there was another disco coming up, and she says, if you mention, if you talk, if you say, mommy, that's it.
So there's a line there that can't be crossed.
So the Leave Insert was another line this year.
Right.
I had a son who did the Leave Insert. Mm-hmm. And we all know that there was different bumps in the road with this particular Leave Insert. And all my Faircrow kept saying to me is, you have no opinion, mommy. You have, please be silent. You have no opinion. Don't do this to me. Don't do this. So I didn't, actually. And it all worked out. Of course it worked out.
You have had difficult times in the past, Minister. Your husband sadly passed away in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
How did you cope with that? That was before you got elected to even Galway County Council, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Yes, Paddy sadly passed away in 2011. And I suppose at that stage, Aveen that I talk about, the youngest, was just five. Quiva was just seven and Faircrow was just eight. So the kids were very, very young when Paddy passed away. I'm very lucky that I have a fantastic sister, very good in-laws, fantastic neighbours. I couldn't have met it without my neighbours. And they were very, very supportive. And the kids were involved in activities. So like, it was important. Life goes on. Life really goes on. And it was at that stage, the kids kept me going because they were going to the camogie, they were going to the rugby, they were going to the dancing, and you had to get them there and you had to speak to people. And yeah.
But it was a very brave move then to move into the political sphere and into the county council and into general election politics, wasn't it? Because you didn't have the support maybe that other people would have.
Yeah, it was. But I was sort of like, I would have always been involved in the community, be it the Tidy Towns, be it the community games or whatever. Okay.
You enjoyed it.
Totally. And there's a reason I would have gone into it. It was to make a difference. But if I was voicing a concern, I was voicing a concern for all the other mothers that were standing on the sidelines, because the issues that I would have felt strongly about, that the parents on the sidelines would have felt very strongly about. And I got involved to make a difference for kids, for children, for young people, to be their voice.
Do you find leaving your children, I know we talked about it, touched on it a few minutes ago, but to go from Galway to Dublin every week, is that difficult? Are you in a routine now and you're used to it?
It took us a long time to actually make the transition. There is no denying that. My eldest boy, who was the teenager at the time, Faircrow, he found that very difficult. That mum was away. He possibly felt he had more pressure because the two little ones, the two were younger, he was sticking up for the girls. There was a lot of phone calls. In the beginning, there was many a time I was sitting inside in the chamber and I was texting, no, you can't go. No, you can't. Please talk to Carmel. That sort of conversation until we hit a routine. But it took us a good 8 months to hit that routine, because when you come up here, you come so submerged in what's going on. You forget about everything else. And that sounds very selfish, but it's the pace of things here. So you have to nearly sort of say to yourself, I have to ring home. I need to do this. I need to do that. Whereas kids don't know what you're doing up here. They don't see what your work is. And they feel that, yeah, I need to touch base with you. I need to ring in. I need to know where's the hurling boots was one evening. I'm going, oh, my God. Yeah. So there is a whole transition to it.
Being a politician can often mean being in the spotlight, especially when you're in government. It can sometimes be particularly difficult for women. Have you ever experienced any misogynistic comments or things that were difficult for you to deal with?
Sure, you have that all the time with social media at the moment. You have it all the time with social media. You have it with Facebook. And I don't mean to go down that route of it, but you do have it. And it is difficult. It's difficult. When we're talking about kids, it's difficult as your children are getting older to see that their mothers are more exposed. That's one part of it. But you know what? It's very difficult. I find that sometimes you just need to turn off the phone. You need to forget about it, because the negativity can be quite constant, But you actually get hardened as well with time, which is wrong, because the way you would, in the past I would have responded. Now you just ignore. But that's not me either, because I would be very strong-minded, very determined. But you just ignore and you just move on from it.
You've even experienced and you've spoken about death threats that you've received as a politician.
That's true.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, it goes back to about a year and a half ago. About a year and a half ago. And actually, it has only happened in the last number of weeks as well. In the last week as well, I got one since I spoke to you last. Yeah, somebody decided they would like to reverse a bus over me. That's how strongly they felt about me. But the one that I spoke to you about before coming on today to do the podcast, it was a call at night time that I took. The phone went off in the middle of the night, or it rang in the middle of the night, and I answered it. Now, they all say you shouldn't answer a number you don't know. The number came up in it. I answered the phone. And yeah, at the other end of the phone, look, we know where you are. We'll get you. You know, it was a warning off. And that
you must have been terrified.
I actually thought I was dreaming to start with. I will be honest, I could not believe that that I was falling into that bracket that, yes, somebody did decide that they would ring you. Somebody did feel strongly enough about you that they would make such a call. And yeah, I was shocked by it. I moved out of my house for an entire week over it. Because, I did, and I took the kids with me.
And yet you stayed in politics and you still feel passionate about it. What advice would you give to other women maybe thinking of a career in politics now?
If you believe in it, if you have that passion or is the fire in your belly, as I said a few months ago, go for it. It is a very good career. It's very fulfilling. You can make a difference. And like, I suppose I'm coming at the other side after getting there, like I've gone from opposition into government. We're after delivering a budget there in relation to disability, a very successful budget for disability, 100 million of new money. Of new money that should make a difference right across the spectrum, and 20 million of once off. So it's a positive investment, and I know that that will touch a lot of lives and it will make a difference. And when you talk about children needing respite, children needing additional services, I know that a strand of that money is going to build houses so that we can put in place respite places where we don't have them at the moment. And yeah, follow your dream through. And it's And making that difference. We need more women in politics. OK, we really need more. We're the yin and the yang. We can have that conversation piece. We think of things differently and we look at things differently. And that is brilliant. And that doesn't mean we're right. It just means we're bringing another piece to the conversation.
You showed interest in the position of Minister for Agriculture when Dara Cailleary stood down. Were you disappointed that you didn't get it?
No, not at all. Sure, Charlie was our spokesperson. But look, I'm a divil, and everybody would know that about me. I would throw the name out there. I threw my name out there before for running for the European elections, and I contested, and I don't have any regrets about that. And I threw my name out for Minister for Agriculture. Absolutely. Why wouldn't I? Was I going to leave it to all the fellas to say they knew something about animals or farming?
Absolutely. And you're from a farming background. You have a lot of knowledge in the area. So why do you think you weren't the one chosen?
To be honest with you, when I see the role that the Taoiseach has given me in disability, I think the challenge in disability, you need to have a person there who can fight passionately. And I used the word in the Dáil last week, tooth and nail, for persons with disability. I'm the right woman for the job. I know exactly why he's put me into disability.
And what do you think makes you a good politician? You know, what I suppose, character do you need to have to be a good politician, in your opinion?
Oh, sure. It takes all sorts. That's the beauty of when you get to Leinster House. It takes all sorts. There's every sort of a character in there. And it's the people that put you there to start out at. So in my case, I would like to think the people of East Galway elected a worker and to follow through. If I start something, I'll see it to the very bitter end. And I'm not afraid to battle for a cause. If I believe in it, I will battle.
What does the future hold for you, Anne Rabbitt? You have a junior minister position at the moment. Would you like a full ministerial position into the future? And would you have any even ambitions to be leader of the party?
Well, let's stick to the junior minister at the moment after delivering a budget, and I'm only about 110 days in the job. I think that I have a good opportunity in this government to deliver a very good programme for government, to deliver for people for disabilities. And I'm in their corner at the moment, and that's the corner I want to stay until I make a real change.
And a full ministerial position, would that be an ambition?
Sure, of course it is. The beauty about politics, the ladder, the career ladder and the progression is fantastic. Like most other jobs, you know what I mean? When you go in there, you're on grade one and sure, you might hobble your long through. The beauty about politics, there is a great career pathway.
Right, well, that is where we'll leave it for today. Anne Rabbitt, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Well, that's it for this special edition of Your Politics podcast. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe or leave a review. But for now, thanks for listening.